Before we get started, I just wanted to share, you're talking about the Berlin Wall. I was there when it came down. And I was thinking, yeah, I got a piece of the rock, but I really have a piece of the rock. I did. I got a piece of that wall, and a little piece of rock from that wall. And I thought, you know, this is nothing compared to the Prince of Peace, you know, the rock, Jesus Christ. I've got a piece of the rock, don't you? Hallelujah. So I could probably sell that for a lot of money, huh? You know, I could probably sell that for a lot of money to some collector who might want it, and yet we give Jesus away free, and people just, you know, they have a hard time about it. But let's just pray real quick, okay? Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. You know, Father, you say you inhabit the praises of your people. And because we have praised you and we have lifted you up, Father, you are here. And so, Father, I just thank you for your word today. Father, we thank you that I'm not sure why you wanted me to minister this. You gave this to me a couple of weeks ago. But, Father, I know that when you ask me to do something, there's always a purpose. And so I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, this is called a language of intimacy. Now, as being women of aglow, you all know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. And a lot of you, I'm sure, do. Maybe some of you don't. And that was saying, God, why do you want me to speak on that? All women, glow women, boy, they're excited about the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues and all. But the Lord was showing me some new things, and I'm sure there's a purpose for this today that I did not know about. So when he asked me to do this, of course, we're obedient, right? So I'm praying and hoping for those of you who do have the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you'll get a new dimension of what I'm going to talk about this morning. Because it's important that as the bride of Christ, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring and the bride to Christ. Prepare her to meet the bridegroom. Okay, Jesus Christ is our bridegroom. And so that is the job of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about Abraham, for you that know Abraham, he's the father of our faith, okay? And he had asked his servant to go into a far country and find a wife for his son. And I have to think of Abraham as God the Father and the servant as the Holy Spirit. And the son, who was Isaac, would be represent Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit, or the servant, went into a foreign country and found a bride for his son and brought her back and purified her. And on the way, told her about the son and who would she be married and all the details about the son and where he came from and who he was. And so it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring us to a place where we understand who the son is. And his purpose is also to make us holy, to make us obedient, to make us gracious and loving and pure for the Son. And so we have a bridegroom that says that I'm coming back for a church that is spotless. And so if as we yield our members to the Holy Spirit and his work, then that is what the Lord does. He purifies his bride. You know, God doesn't want any wrinkles. You know, he wants a beautiful bride, not any spots, you know. No spotted lambs here, okay? You know, God wants a perfect bride. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And so he made a way for us to fellowship with the Father. And I believe it's why I called it the language of intimacy is because praying in tongues and praying in the Holy Spirit, it's a gift from God to enter into the realm of the Spirit. You know, we have flesh bodies, and we need a way to communicate with the Most High God on his level. Now, you know, he made us. He can communicate in English as we speak to him. He can make his thoughts known to us, okay? But it's important that we know that praying in tongues is our native language, really. As Christians, it's our native language. It's the language of heaven. And we are not praying out of our understanding when we pray in the Spirit. We are praying out of our spirit. There, we are made up of, as the Bible says, spirit, soul, and body. Now, through the soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, then you'll pray in English. You'll pray in your own understanding. But God is saying there's a higher praying, a much higher level of praying that I want you to pray spirit to spirit, because God is a spirit. And he says it supersedes your praying in your own language, in your own understanding. And so with that, as a teacher, I teach with notes. I'm not like a preacher or evangelist. They can go out and they just, bam, they're in, they're out, you know, and they just proclaim Jesus Christ. But as a teacher, and that's the gift that God has given me, I like to do a systematic thing. I like to bring a person, because a lot of people don't understand what this gift is and why the body, everybody in the body of Christ needs to have this gift. And everybody in the body of Christ needs to be praying in this gift. And so what I'm going to do is take you systematically through this whole thing and explain this to you. All right, now what I would like to do, you know, because I was thinking this is, when I was thinking this is praying in the spirit, this is really spirit talk. It's spirit talk. It's your spirit, your human spirit, speaking to the Spirit of God. And there's a two-way conversation going. And you want to be able to access the throne of heaven, and that's how you do it when you pray in the Holy Ghost. That's how you access, okay? And I like what Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. And then in John 7:38 it says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, the bellies is the deeper part of you, the deepest part of you. And that represents your spirit, not your mind, not your intellect, not your soul area. It represents your spirit area. And so when you pray in your language, then what happens is you are praying from your spirit, and you're actually praying a perfect prayer to the Father. You know what? We are in situations that we have no idea what's happening. Mm-hmm. There's something in advance, you know, that could be happening. And I've woken up in the middle of the night, and God said, start praying. And so I would just start praying in the spirit. I can remember one time there was a young boy that I prayed for. He had cancer. I didn't know where he had cancer. And the Lord gave me a scripture to pray for him. I went to his house. I prayed the scripture over him. And then that night, I was woken up in the middle of the night by an angel. He grabbed me, lifted me by my hands, and lifted me up. And I sat up in bed. And I'm like, who lifted me up? I looked at my husband thinking maybe he did it. He's sound asleep over there, you know, just snoring away. And I thought, how'd that happen? That is really weird. So I just laid back down, fell back to sleep. And again, somebody grabbed me by the hands and yanked me up. And I'm like, oh, this is an angel. So I got down and I start praying. And and the Lord says, pray in the spirit. And I knew I was praying for this young boy named Clifford. And so I start praying in the spirit. And in fact, my normal prayer language actually changed into something beautiful, really, really beautiful. I mean, it was different. It was like Hawaiian. It was really kind of neat. But what I didn't realize is that something must have been happening in that boy's life. Maybe faith was diminishing after the prayer. And the Lord said the enemy's coming in and starting to put, you know, stuff in his mind to keep the healing process from completing. And so I got down and I was prostrate on the floor and I prayed for a long time until I felt release in my spirit, in my heart, to stop praying for him. Now, he had the kind of cancer that it was terminal. There's only two other people in the world that have ever had this kind of cancer, and both died. So he was dead. He was a dead man. They considered him a dead man. And it was a couple days after that, they were doing exploratory surgery, trying to see how bad it was. Maybe they can scrape it, because what it was roots that went around his lungs and his heart. Mm-hmm. It was a root. And it was interesting, I didn't know this, but the prayer that the Lord asked me to pray for says, it was about roots, that every root that my father has not planted shall be rooted up. That was the prayer that the Lord, and I didn't know to pray that prayer until I'd been praying in tongues for a couple of hours. I prayed in my spirit language for a couple of hours. God gave me that. And then he woke me up that night. I continued to pray. And then I found out when they opened up for the exploratory, it was all dead. They were shocked. And it's funny, too, because when I prayed for that boy, he's a saxophone player, and I told him in a prophetic word that you will continue to do that. In fact, to this time on, that as you play your saxophone, people will actually be healed. So that was, and I mean, I didn't even know how good he was. I just saw the saxophone there. I just didn't know what was going on with him. Somebody says, I think he plays a saxophone. I mean, I didn't know anything. And to find out he's really good, I did not know that. So it's like when you pray in the Spirit, God can give you things for people. Mm-hmm. I dare not come up here and prophesy over any of you or even teach unless I've prayed in the Spirit for many hours. Because I want to get the mind of Christ on this. I want it to be able to flow so that it goes into your heart and into your spirit. Because God has a word for us today. You know what? I was thinking about that thing that happened in New Orleans. Do you know how many prophetic words came out ahead of time before that happened? Starting in 1999, they said that New Orleans is going to flood. Up until June of this year, the last prophet said, it's going to flood. You know, God says he doesn't do anything unless he proclaims it to his prophets first. But I'll tell you what, as we pray in the Spirit, God could let us know the things that are going to happen to us in our lives. Do you realize there was something predicted for the Northwest also? A shaking, a major shaking. So there's going to be an earthquake here. So, you know, I was telling my husband the other night, and I said, you know what, we know this is going to happen. We're probably stupid because we're in the middle of building our house right now, not to get earthquake insurance, yeah? But anyway, we'll see about that. But anyway, so when I pray in the Holy Ghost or my spirit language, I am speaking to God. My human spirit is in touch with the Spirit of God. Well, see, with my body, this physical body, I make contact with people. You know, I can touch people, you know, and I can touch her. This is with my physical body. With my soul, I contact my fellow man. I'm speaking to you. I believe I'm speaking from my spirit, but I'm speaking out of my intellect also with the knowledge that God has given me. But I'll tell you what, with spirit, with your human spirit, then you contact God himself. And it's a straight course. And so when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are communicating mysteries. Mysteries up to the throne room. And God is communicating those mysteries of what he wants to do back to you. And then what happens as you pray, these thoughts come to you into your mind. That is what they do, is the spirit articulates into the understanding and the language that you understand. Of course, you didn't know that prior because you're just praying in the spirit. So that's why it's very important that every Christian nowadays, with the things that are coming on this earth, God says he will tell us things to come. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost on a regular basis, you're not going to know when things come. People say, well, how do you know this? And I've had people pray and say, if this is of God, you'll have Ginny call me. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I call. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, God presses upon my heart. You know, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden I think of somebody and I call. Oh, I'm so glad you called. You know, this is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I have found over this last couple of months that I stopped praying in the Holy Ghost, not totally, but I mean the hours that I do every day, and I felt like my spirit was drying up, that I wasn't getting as much. And for the last 3 weeks, the Lord has been prompting me to start praying in the Holy Ghost again, especially because he wanted me to teach on it. I'm like, okay, I think I need to start praying a little more than if you want me to teach on it. I'm going to be really honest with you, because even the teachers up here and prophets and evangelists, we're all not perfect, you know? We're imperfect beings trying to move in a, you know, with a perfect God. And so, hallelujah. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 14:2, if you have your Bibles, that's the first scripture I'd like you to look up today. It's interesting, this whole chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is talking about tongues. You can't get away from it. I don't care who says that's not for today. That is of the devil, which I was told. That was demonic. Tongues is demonic. And I thought, you know what? I only love the Lord. I pray in tongues. I know it's not demonic, okay? I mean, you just know that you know that you know. But that's what I was told. And that hindered me from receiving for many, many years because I was afraid of it. And that's why today, as a teacher, I want to systematically bring you to a place where you understand that this is really of God, and that God desires that everybody in this place be praying in tongues every single day. And to me, a minimum of 30 minutes. And why I say a minimum of 30 minutes, because that just primes the pump. That's just, you know, my mom's back there in the back. That's my mom. Actually, mom, my sisters, too, that are living in the area. And remember, mom, we used to have that water pump. And it took a while for the water to come up. You had to put a little down in there, and you just keep pumping and pumping and pumping. And eventually, it started really flowing. As soon as you pumped it, I mean, the water, you know, it took a little while, but the water finally came up, and it just kept flowing and flowing. Then it was a kind of a major flow. To me, that the Holy Spirit, when you pray in the Spirit, is like that pump. It's just priming it. That's all you're doing. For about the first 30 minutes, you're priming the pump. You're putting the water in. You're priming the pump. And all of a sudden, then you get this burst of rivers of living water that flow out of you. That's when revelation starts to come. Too many of us fall short and we end at 5 minutes or 3 minutes. I don't know about you, but I'll go around and pray about 2 minutes and I realize, oh, I stopped praying. Y'all be there? I'm like, oh, wait, I got to start praying again. I mean, you get distracted. And I might be in the shower and all of a sudden I'm praying, I'm thinking of something and I stop praying. So it's a discipline is what I'm saying. You got to discipline yourself to start praying in the Holy Ghost. Very important. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no man understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You're actually, when you pray in the Spirit, in this prayer language that God gives you, you're actually praying mysteries. And I love what the Weymouth translation says, he speaks divine secrets hid in God. Divine secrets. Divine. God is the divine, okay? So he is going to reveal secrets. And he says he wants to give these secrets to his children. They're treasures that are hidden. Hidden from the enemy. God doesn't want the enemy to know what he has plans for you. A lot of times, he doesn't tell you also in English and just, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing here because you'll probably blab it out and the enemy will hear it and then you'll really have more than you bargained for, right? But a lot of times, God will share these things with you in seasons, not right away. There's times when I can ask for God the interpreter, what did I just pray? And he'll tell me. Sometimes I'll just hear it when somebody else prays. I'll hear it in English. Actually, physically, I will hear it and know exactly what they're saying. But sometimes down the road, all of a sudden, it opens up. It's like, wow, now I understand. Now I understand. So this brings understanding. And so I like what the Amplified Bible says. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we sound crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like you're praying and, you know, I like to pray a lot. And even when I'm in the mall or somewhere, I'll just, you know, I'm getting to the age, I'm in my 50s, that I figure, well, if they see me muttering, they'll just think, oh, yeah, no, she's senile. But I mean, one time I was walking by, I forget what it was. It was probably an occult store or something. I don't remember. But all of a sudden I just blurted out in tongues, you know, and people looked at me and I'm like, well, they probably thought I was a foreigner. So, you know, so that's okay. See, they don't know. Just do it. But anyway, the Holy Spirit is causing the mysteries of these divine secrets recorded in the Word to come alive in your spirit. And eventually it will come to your mind and you'll know exactly what's going on. I don't know how many times that God has shared things with me. I remember, I'd say a week before 9/11 happened, the Lord said, go on a fast. And so I went on a fast and I prayed in the Spirit a lot. Had no idea what I was praying for until the night before 9/11. I got off my couch and I fell to the ground and I couldn't get up for over an hour. And God took a hold of my tongue. I prayed in the Spirit. And both my legs had collapsed, literally collapsed. I just fell to the ground and I could not get off the carpet. That had never happened to me, really. I mean, not like that before. And so I realized the next morning, and Doug said all through the night, all I did was pray in the Spirit all night long, in my sleep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he woke me up and he says, Ginny, look what happened downstairs. And I realized what had happened. The towers, both the twin towers had fallen. Mm-hmm. But that was an intercession for someone. You know, a lot of people actually could have died in that. Mm-hmm. If you don't know a lot of the stories, most people, Christians, not the unbeliever, but the Christians, didn't go to work that day. Mm-hmm. You find a lot of stories like that they felt compelled not to go. Mm-hmm. Or they missed their bus, or they missed their train, or something happened. You know, it's quite amazing when God can use your mouth as an intercessor. He can save a lot of lives. A lot of lives. that was kind of an interesting, I was really surprised on that one myself. So anyway, it's a perfect will of God. Somebody is having some issues in your family or a friend. They come to you, and this is happening. You really don't know what to pray. You just don't know how to pray for the person. Well, pray in the Spirit. Do you realize I pray more in the Spirit than I do in English? I say 90% of my prayers are in the Spirit, not in English. When I pray it in English, I see the situation in a person's life. I find the scripture to back it up. Well, this is what God said about this. And I pray the scripture. I don't pray a lot of my own words. I find a scripture that relates to it. I pray the scripture. And then the majority of it is just praying in the Spirit for that person. Because that's the perfect prayer. Can you get any more perfect than God praying himself? Through you? Through your Spirit? No. God says, I know what I want to do in this situation. Now I want you to pray in the Spirit so that I can accomplish what I want to accomplish. To me, that's the most amazing thing that God would give us this. He said he called it the promise gift from the Father. Go to Acts. Acts chapter 1. It says here, and we're going to start with verse 4. Because Jesus told his disciples to do. Now, these were Jesus' disciples. Do you know what a disciple is? One who follows Jesus. In other words, these were Christians, okay? This is what he told them to do. He says, after being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And I thought about that. See, people get a little confused. They say, well, wait a minute, I received the Holy Spirit when I got born again. And that's true, you did. Because if you didn't receive, you were not. Ephesians 1 says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit unto your redemption. You have it. But what this is now, you're learning how to tap into the power. The Holy Spirit is now resident in your heart. I wanted to show you some transparencies so you'll get an idea what I'm talking about. Okay, these through many hours of praying in the Holy Ghost, the Lord gave me charts to show people what they actually look like inside of them, in the secret parts of them, which nobody sees. You have a body is the outward circle. The inward circle is the soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And right inside is your human spirit. And inside your human spirit is your heart. Okay? This is what you look like as a natural man, Satan ruled, when you're not saved. Okay? Your heart is still a hard heart. You don't have a heart of flesh yet. And your spirit is all kind of, there's nothing there, okay? I used black writing because everything is kind of dull for the person. Now, this is what happens when you become born again. There you go. Something changes. Your spirit, now I have the letters in blue because, you know, your spirit has come alive. It was darkened. You had no understanding whatsoever of the things of God because your spirit didn't understand the things of God. But now that you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes in. Your spirit has been lit up. The Holy Spirit now resides. That's the door of your heart. The Holy Spirit resides in there. So now when you are praying in your spirit, your human spirit, the Holy Spirit's right there to take those prayers and offer them up to the Father, and the Father can communicate with you now. See, back in the Old Testament, he communicated to their soul because their spirit wasn't enlightened yet. They weren't born again yet. They still had dead spirits. They just didn't understand. There was no understanding. And then this happens when you start to pray in the Holy Ghost. You get mature. You see your spirit start to lighten up, get the glory of God in there. And all of a sudden, things starting happening, and it's starting to affect. It's the sword of the Spirit that starts separating between soul and spirit, dividing soul and spirit. We don't want that connection anymore because your spirit now is on fire for God. Okay, your spirit, your human spirit doesn't want to know nothing but God. Yeah. Give me God. Yeah. I am hungry for God. I'm a baby. Feed me the things of God. And this is what Jesus looked like. Okay. He was able to tap into the spirit, and he was able to become glorified throughout. both his spirit, his soul, his body, and then out. And you see where those arrows are? Out to other people. And as he touched them, the glory of God flowed through him. He could feel the anointing leave him as he prayed for people, or as people touched him. All they had to do was just touch him. And he can feel the anointing when they touched him in faith, because he was full of the Spirit. That is what I'm talking about when I'm saying, you've got the Holy Spirit, but now the whole goal is to get to be just like Jesus.
Amen.
To be full of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, wanted to share that with you so you understood. I didn't know whether we would have the thing here to see those transparencies. But now, here is 1:8, Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And then you shall be my witnesses," which means martyrs, by the way, "to me both in Jerusalem and into Judea and in Samaria and to the other parts of the earth." And so now you have become his witnesses. And this is a promise. It's interesting. Go back to Luke 24, because I wanted to show you something in here. This is when Jesus showed up on the scene after he died and he had his resurrected body. Let's see. 24:49. And it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." These were his disciples. They were already Christians. They had, in fact, I think it's in John 20. Go to John 20. You have to see this. This is so amazing, the day that I saw this. 22. Now, he had just entered through the wall, okay? He walks through walls. You know, glorified bodies do that. Jesus was raised from the dead. He walks through the wall. And this is what he says to them. He breathed on them in verse 22, and he said to them, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." When Jesus breathed on them, they became born again, basically. Because now that Jesus is risen from the dead, they can actually have their spirits enlightened. So he breathed on them the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. And then, let's see what he says. "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted to them. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained." And of course, Thomas, of course, didn't believe, right? And so, but you find here that after this, he tells them, now that I breathed on you the Holy Ghost, now I want you to wait. In days to come, actually, I think it was 50 days before Pentecost, he says, "Then you're going to receive the power." And that's when tongues of fire came on the disciples in the upper room, and they started speaking with tongues, and they started prophesying. So, you know, they're two different events. One Holy Spirit, it's just that when you ask, the Holy Spirit will allow the Holy Spirit in you to be activated. Basically, that's all it is. And you have an evidence when you pray in your tongue. When you receive that, you know you have now the power. I was thinking about Jesus when he was baptized by John the Baptist. He came up out of the water, and a dove came upon him. And it said, and something like lightning. And a lot of people missed the lightning part. It was probably the fire. Okay? I mean, go into the scriptures. Fine, it said lightning. And up until that point, did you know there was no demon that went around to him while he was on the earth for 30 years and said, "I know who you are"? They did that afterwards, though, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Nobody knew who Jesus was. No demon on the face of this earth knew who Jesus was until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then what he did is we went out into the wilderness for 40 days fasting. Mm-hmm. He said, in fact, where is that? Pardon? Matthew 4? Let's see. He says, "And when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and there he fasted for 40 days and continued." And I think it was, let's look in Luke over that one. What you have to do a lot of times is check the different scriptures out so you can get an idea. Or maybe it was John. Was it John that he said it? Where he said, Luke 4? You guys know the word, all right. Aha, there it is. Luke 4, he says in verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Do you realize the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Do you realize God does allow the enemy to tempt you and test you? To test you, really. It's a testing is what it is. Do you really believe what you just heard? Yes. Do you really believe what you're saying? Yes. Well, guess what? I'm going to test the word that's in you. I am going to test the word that's in you. That's how you grow. God allows you to be tested by the devil. And he came out in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. He was tested, and he proved himself. And he came back with power. And so, yeah, kind of a neat thing. I want, real quick, a few scriptures to let you know that these are two different things. Being born again and being filled with the Spirit are two different events. They should happen at the same time. If we have some smarts about us, when I pray for somebody's salvation, I said, okay, now that you're saved, we've got to get you filled with the Holy Ghost because you need the power to live out the Christian life. So when I pray for somebody's salvation, I say you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost now. There's a language that God wants to give you, and we're going to pray for you, and you're going to get filled. And guess what? You know, when somebody got saved, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Because that's important. It's really important. You know what? If you ask Jesus to give it to you, for those of you who are not baptized in the Holy Ghost this morning, if you ask the Lord, he will give you the Holy Spirit. He says he gives good gifts. Now, if you don't open your mouth, it's not going to come out. I prayed for somebody. He did not open his mouth. And then his wife came back to me and said, yeah, he prays in tongues in his sleep all the time. And I go, well, you have it. You just got to get it released, okay? If you ask God, he's given it to you. Just release it, okay? And so, but anyway, let's go to Acts 8. Acts 8. See, that's why I think God was saying, is it really important that I want this intimacy with my children, and I want to tell them of things to come. I want to warn them of things, of disasters, of the things that are going to happen. And the only way that I can do this is that they pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, I can do it through somebody else who prays in the Holy Ghost, a family member, and say, okay, guys, get ready. We're having a shaking. It's getting ready to come soon, whatever. But you know what? God doesn't want to have to speak through somebody else all the time to you. The whole goal is to have intimacy with the Father. You and him, communing together. And that's what he wants. That's his number one preference. However, he'll get you any way he can. Okay? He'll use a family member. I think he picks one in the family, you know, in a lot of families. And if they choose to go on with God, he'll use them to bring the rest of the family in or to give them the warnings, whatever's necessary. You know, but it's good to build yourself up into God so that God can speak to you personally. There's all different ways that he speaks. You know, I mean, he told me about this meeting, about something that was going on a couple nights ago in a dream. So I thought, wow, that's cool. I mean, that wasn't cool I saw, but I mean, it was cool that God pre-warned me of something so I can pray. And so avert the plans of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that is important that we need to do that. So God has to have access to your spirit. Mm-hmm. How does he do that? When you pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's those rivers of living water come out and they just burst forth. If you just have the Holy Spirit and you don't pray in tongues, you get the trickles. Hey, fine, God can speak to you and he can tell you things, but they're trickles. I want big bursts. I want waterfalls. I want gushing geysers, I mean, in my life when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to hear his voice. I want to soar in the heavenlies. I want to have throne room experiences. I've been to paradise. Believe it or not, he showed me this kind of stuff when I've been in the Spirit. And I thought, I want more of that. As you pray in the Spirit, that's where visions come from. You have these, people have these open visions, praying in the Holy Ghost for hours on end. They get these open visions. There's a secret here. Really important. It's a secret here. If nothing else today, what I am trying to tell you is get a desire to pray more in the Holy Ghost now than you ever have in your whole Christian experience.
That's right.
And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost, desire. I've been praying that those who don't have today have a desire to get it, and those that do have a desire to pray more.
Yes.
Because God is saying, Jenny, you know, I'm thinking, why am I doing this to an aglow woman? They're all praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm sure. They're all baptized. Aglow, that's what it means, you know? And so, but God said, this is what I want you to teach on. And so, maybe it's just an importance, probably. Now, let's go to Acts 8:14. It says here, now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God. This is Philip, he goes and he's the evangelist. And so he sends the word to Samaria. Everybody's excited. They receive the word. Who's the word?
Jesus.
So they received Jesus, didn't they? Okay? They sent to them Peter and John, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them. It was in them, but it just hadn't fallen upon them. There's a difference. There's a difference between having the Holy Spirit in you and having him fall upon you. Okay? Only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay? They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And then when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Not a good thing, because he wanted the power. Now, in the next verse, he says, give me also this power. Now, if I just came over and just prayed for this woman, and she says, thank you, Jenny, that's it. Did it look like any power happened there? Something happened that Simon said, I want that. I saw what happened to those people when you prayed for them, when you prayed for the Holy Ghost to come upon them. There was some kind of manifestation. That's what I'm saying. They spoke in tongues. They prophesied. They spoke as if, thus saith the Lord in the person's life. And he's like, whoa, I want to be able to do that. I need this stuff. I'll pay for it if I have to. And you know what? Simon was a Christian. If you read in the previous verses there, he was a Christian. And he wanted the power. And, of course, the apostles got mad at him. You think you can buy God? You better get your act together. There's iniquity in you. You can't buy God. It's a free gift. Even the Holy Spirit is a free gift. And so, and then that's 8 years after Pentecost. That was 8 years after Pentecost. Now let's go to 10 years after Pentecost. Go to chapter 10, 10:44. This is where Peter's told, this one's my favorite. Peter's told to go to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was Italian. Our whole family were all Italian. Full Italian. And I thought, oh, I'm like the first Italian that got born again. And so I thought that was really neat. So I have a special place in my heart for Cornelius. But anyway, 10:44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Isn't that amazing? Heard them speak with tongues. See, here's Cornelius that understood. They believed Yahweh, Jehovah God. He was captain of the band, the Italian band. He was like a military, high-ranking military man in the Italian band, the Roman band. And so he believed in the Jewish God. It's just that he didn't know anything about Jesus yet. And so they came over, they received Jesus and got filled all at the same time and started speaking in tongues. And everybody else was like, wow, even a Gentile can receive this. Doesn't have to be just Jewish. Praise God. Anyway, and 20 years later, you go to Acts 19. This is 20 years later. Paul journeys to Ephesus. And in 19, 1 through 6, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In other words, they were believers. Now, did you receive the Holy Ghost yet? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said to them, to what then were you baptized? And then it goes on, and then it says here, in verse 5, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the new birth. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I'm telling you what, these are two distinct things that happen. And people are supposed to get, you know, they're supposed to happen just like that. In fact, in Acts 9:17, Ananias, do you know what he called Paul, Brother Paul? Because on the road to Damascus, when Paul had his first experience, I mean, here's Paul. This man was the greatest apostle that ever lived. He wrote a lot of the New Testament, okay? A lot of the epistles he wrote. And he was a fanatic. He was a zealot for the things of God, but he didn't understand Jesus, and he denied Jesus. Well, he had a real experience on the road to Damascus. a ball of light came. It was Jesus. God blinded him. He received him then on the road. And then he says, well, Lord, will you have me do? And he goes, he told him to go to this town, ask for this man. I'm going to send this man to you, and he's going to pray for you. Well, Ananias comes in, and he prays for Paul. And here he says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. Well, Saul is the Hebrew name for Paul. Paul is Greek. So if you get confused about whether they say Saul or Paul, it's just Greek and Hebrew, okay? But he called him brother. And the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I'm telling you what, guys, this is, you know, is so important. You know, God, we have infirmities. We have infirmities in us. And those infirmities, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities. I think it's in Romans 8:23 or 24, somewhere in there. It says, the Spirit helps our infirmities. And what are these infirmities that He helps us with? Well, when we can't get results with our prayers, we can't seem to have that breakthrough in faith to receive what we're asking God for, the Holy Spirit steps in through our human spirit as we pray in the Spirit. That's how we get the breakthrough. If you're not having answers to prayers, you need to be praying in the Holy Ghost more. Because it's the Holy Spirit that takes your prayer and gets the breakthrough for you. When we are stuck, we can't get past that barrier, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work and gets the job done for us. That's why I say I pray more in the Holy Ghost than anything else. I like what Paul said. He said that. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. And God had him write most of the New Testament. What I'm saying is, this Holy Spirit wants to give us the kingdom secrets, the riches, the promises that God has for us. But if you don't know how to access them, just like Jesus said, the spies went into the promised land. And what did God say? I give you the promised land. Go take it. Yes. Who was in the promised land? The giants, Goliath, and alike. They were big guys. These little short Jews, and they were 13-foot men, you know? And you're telling me, you're giving me the land, and now I got to go fight the giants? And God's like, yeah. You know how you fight the giants in your life? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes. That's how you fight the giants and get all the promises that God has for you, whether it's financial. You know, we're meant to be financially well-to-do. Because we're supposed to not lavish it on ourselves, but proclaim the gospel in all the earth. You need finances to do that. So God has called us to be wealthy, like King Solomon's and David's, Abraham's, Job's. You know, they had a lot of money, didn't they? If you read the scripture, you find out they were the wealthiest men on the earth. And they all loved God and followed God. That was the blessing. So as you pray in the Holy Ghost, the blessing's yours. The blessing of healing. Jesus said, by my stripes you are healed. Yes. If you don't understand, the only understanding you have is, well, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I can be healed. But if you don't have a revelation of it, it hasn't come as part of your heart. Mm-hmm. It's only in your head. It hasn't gone past your soul into your spirit. It hasn't become a reality in your life. Mm-hmm. How do you get it to become a reality in your life? You pray in the Holy Ghost. That's how you do it. Allow to be born. Allow those truths to be born into your spirit. That's where it has to be born, into your spirit. Not your understanding, not your mind, not your will. Emotionally, I want to be healed. I'm just, you know. No, you have to get it. You have to have the revelation in your spirit in order to capitalize on all the blessings God has for you. This, I'm telling you today, is a divine secret. I'm telling you a divine secret. I can't say this enough. This is a divine secret. And you know what? The enemy does not want you to know this secret. That's why Paul said, don't let them forbid you praying in tongues. The enemy, he's frustrated. He doesn't know what you're praying. And he can't do anything about it. It's like when you pray in the Spirit, you know what you're doing? You're locking yourself up in the Lord's private chambers. And the enemy is not going to go in the Lord's private chambers. He does not understand what you're praying. He can't put it all together. Mm-hmm. And he can't stop it either. Right. And he can't stop it. Hallelujah. That's something to get all hyped up over. You know what? And the enemy can't steal from you in the secret chambers. And so, I mean, to me, he's clueless. He's just clueless. And, you know, when you pray in the Spirit, you may not know what you're praying, but you're in essence, you're asking God to bring the angels on the scene for your protection, for the protection of your loved ones and your family. And the devil doesn't know that. See, God knows the plans of the devil. God knows everything. And he says, oh, if I can just get Ginny to pray more in the Holy Ghost, I can send forth my angels into that situation. Because I know what's coming up. I know the plans that the devil has for her. Not the plans that I have. I have plans to prosper her, to give her a hope and a future. The plans of the devil, he wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy everything Ginny has. If she doesn't pray enough in the Holy Ghost, I can't send my angelic host. I can't do what I want. It's like tying God's hands, guys. Now, God's hands can't be tied. God can do what he wants to do. But in your life, you have a lot to do because you have a free will. You have a lot to do what happens to you, believe it or not. And you know, we're made in the image of God. Speak forth. Our words produce. They're powerful. They're very powerful. They're spirit words. And when you pray in the Spirit, they're definitely spirit words. They're going forth and they're producing in the world, in your situation, they're producing. You need a family member saved? Pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, command the blinders to come off of them and then pray in the Holy Ghost for them. Ask the Lord to send laborers into the field. Didn't he say to ask? And then go pray and say, Lord, I'm trusting you're sending someone to them. Obviously, they're not hearing it from me. But I will pray and be the intercessor. Send someone. They need to hear your truth. And so, but anyway, I think to me, that is a very frustrating time for the enemy when you pray in tongues. I like, there was a book called The Hidden Power of Praying in Tongues. I recommend it by Mahesh Shabad. I don't know if you've, how do you say his name?
Mahesh Chadda.
Mahesh Chadda. What is that, Indian or something?
I think so.
Indian? Yeah. I mean, I got this book and I thought, wow, I like that title. I can never say the guy's name, but I like the title.
C-H-A-V-D-A.
D-A. This, and it's the hidden power of praying in tongues. This is what he said. Speaking in tongues is like installing a firewall on our spiritual computer. It prevents Satan from hacking into our system to affect it with his virus of evil and corruption. Mm-hmm. Cool. And that's like, I got to write that one down. I like that one.
Say the name of the book again.
It's the hidden power of praying in tongues. So, it's time for us to be drunk with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Get drunk with the Holy Spirit. You know, like people drink and get drunk. You know, what happens when somebody drinks? And, you know, they have problems, they go to the bottle, right? Because what it does, it anesthetizes them from the problem, doesn't it? You don't think about your problems. They have to take their flesh and just kind of put it on hold somewhere. And alcohol does that. Drugs does that. Okay? That's why the Lord said, don't get drunk with wine. Get drunk with the Holy Spirit. It does the same thing to your flesh. And anesthetizes the problem, but it does a whole lot more. It takes care of the problem. Okay? Really. So, get drunk with the Holy Ghost. And it also produces faith in you. One of the things, go to Jude, which is, I think it's that second to the last book of the Bible, right before Revelation, I think. It's one little book. It's one little chapter. Let's see where it is.
Verse 20.
Thank you. Verse 20. Somebody knows. Oh, they've been reading the book. Okay. Verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. It says, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. It builds your faith. Remember, I've been telling you, you need the answers. You need your promised land. We all have a promised land to conquer, okay? And if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, you're not getting your promises to the degree that you should get them. You might get little trickles here and there. The spies might come out and give you the grapes, okay, that they brought out from the promised land. You might get some great grapes once in a while, some fruit. But I tell you what, you're not getting the fullness of what you're supposed to have that Jesus Christ has intended for you. And it builds your faith to receive your promises. And, you know, they say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means faith comes by hearing the Word of God and hearing it 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 over and over and over. That's why I love being a teacher. I just say the same thing over and over again until you get it. And then, but also, you build that same faith up by praying in the Holy Ghost. So you take these truths that I'm telling you today as you're hearing the Word, you go home, and you pray in the Holy Ghost. And then you get the revelation born in your spirit, and then you receive the promises that God has for you. That's the process. You know what? Our body, what is happening is God is trying to enlarge us, because there is that warfare out there. And we need to be more full of the Spirit. You know what we're full of? Movies and popcorn. You know why New Orleans got flooded, don't you?
Yes.
It was a spirit of entertainment there.
That's right.
God said, enough's enough.
Ugliness.
Ugliness, that's right. And you have to search your own heart. Do you have a spirit of New Orleans? Do you have a spirit of entertainment? And God is starting to wants to enlarge your heart to receive more of what He has.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'll tell you what, I'm asking God to use me. I want to be His tool.
Yes.
I want the counsel of God to just bubble up out of me for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know what?
Amen.
In Proverbs 20 verse 5, it says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out.
Mm-hmm.
So those deep waters coming out of your heart, that's the counsel and the mysteries of God.
Right.
That's the counsel and the mysteries of God. And I'll tell you, you know, God wants to refresh us. He wants to give us that rest. Isaiah 28 says that's the refreshing. That's the rest to pray in tongues. And then he goes over, I think it's to 1 Corinthians 14. And he puts those two scriptures together as it's tongues that he was talking about. You get a rest and a refreshing. I found when I'm in turmoil about this whole situation, thank God, I don't even know how to pray in English. I mean, I'm just so frustrated, I can't even pray. I mean, have you ever felt that way before? Your heart is so sunken, and it's like, I don't even have a desire to pray. All I want is just go to sleep. Maybe I'll just go to sleep. That's the time the Lord says, you need a refreshing, you need peace, pray in the Holy Ghost. We were looking for a land. I don't know how many pieces of property we looked at least 100 when we were getting ready to build, because we're in the middle of building now. And I said, you know, there's two pieces of property. I didn't know which one God wanted us to have. And I said, I am going on a fast, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit all day. And that's what I did. I prayed in the Spirit all day. And I said, God, we need to know what you want us to do. Which piece of property? I think it's really important that we get the piece of property you want us to have. You brought me to this. Now, which one? And that night, I had a dream. And in the dream, I stood in front of this one piece of property. And it was mine. And then I woke up, and I, wow. That was cool. Okay, I guess that's the piece of property God wants to have, right? I went to sleep and had another dream. And the Lord came to me in my dream this time. And He said, I gave the same dream to your husband so that you will confirm to know that this is the dream. And I woke up from that dream, and I was so excited, and Doug was gone. And I ran downstairs. I said, Doug, did you have a dream last night that you were standing in the middle of the property? And he kind of, his eyes went, you know, his jaw dropped to the ground, and he goes, yeah. And I said, God told me you did. He gave me the same dream. And so we believed that property was ours, and sure enough, we dickered with the guy, and he gave it to us. It was a property originally, it was 149, and we got it for like 88. Beautiful view of Mount Rainier. So I can watch it explode in the future, that quaking going on. That shaking going on, yeah. But you know what? God wants to give us that wisdom. He wants to let us know when that mountain's going to go, when that quake's going to go. So I'm saying, get a love language of intimacy. Get it more every day than you've ever done before. Pray 1 hour, 2 hours every day. Minimum 30 minutes every day. That's minimum, guys. You need to prime the pump, and then you've got to move on if you want revelation from God, and if you want answered prayers, and how to get your promises. Mm-hmm. That you know you deserve because God already gave them to you. Mm-hmm. How do you access them? You have to bypass the second heaven. Do you know who's in the second heaven?
Satan.
That's right, and all his demonic powers. There's three heavens. The heaven of heavens where the throne room of God is. This heaven here on earth, this is earth. There's a second heaven. And that's where the demonic powers is. You need to be able to bypass that and get into the throne room of God with your prayers. And that will do that. That will do that. And so you need to be like Paul. I think Paul's life was successful because he was totally devoted to Jesus Christ and he prayed in tongues more than anybody else. Father, I just thank you for your word tonight.
Today.
I thank you, Father, for giving us some revelation and some understanding on the importance of this. And Father, as I close this meeting, Lord God, my desire is that everybody in this room be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and anybody who wants to be baptized that has not been baptized, Father, I want to be able to lay my hands on them and have them receive. And Father, even those who have not prayed in the Spirit for a long time, Father, and they realize that they need to be released in that again in a greater capacity and a greater dimension, Father, I ask, Father, that you touch their hearts, that they would want to come forward also and receive that. Father, my desire is to just give everybody a word that they can be blessed today, to release them from the demonic holds, that the strongholds that the devil has on them, and that they can be fulfilled in all the promises that you have for them. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.